new series this morning. I just want to pray for God's word before we begin. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord, please, that your Holy Spirit would shed light upon your word, Lord God, so that it doesn't just be a book to us, so that it doesn't just be a good read or a complicated read, or even, Lord God, for some, a boring read. We pray that the Spirit of God would shed light upon the pages of your word and make it life unto us, because your word is living and active. It's powerful, Lord God. Your word can speak into our very souls and minister to us. Your word can bring healing, Lord God, to our sick bodies and minds, Lord God. Your word can do incredible, powerful things. And people probably this morning sitting here saying, well, I hope he does that for me. Well, Lord, we don't know what you have in store for us in this coming year, but this we do know: you're a faithful God, and you will be with us, and you will sustain us, and you will keep us in your love. So help us this morning, Lord God, to enjoy you, to enjoy your word, Lord God, and may all who are here know the blessing of Almighty God in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, this morning's message, I suppose, because we're going into this new series, this morning's message is simply a by means of introduction. In other words, what that means, it carries a health warning. And we'll get to that in a wee second. But it's just going to be an introduction to what we're going to be doing over the next, quite possibly the next 9 months to a year. And I hope that this sort of introduction this morning will be one that will launch us into this new Sunday morning series. But as I said, it comes with a health warning, probably spiritual health, but I don't know about anything else. But you know, the last time we gave out a real warning from the front of the church when we said we're going to do this new series and people are going to be offended, well, boy, were they offended. My phone never stopped ringing. Not that I answered it. I'd say to people, here's my house number and feel free to leave a message. But on my house number, I have the following message: hello, you're through to Taddy. Please feel free to leave a message, but we very rarely listen to them. So all the complaints didn't matter. But in all honesty, the warning to this message, to this series, is the same as the last one. You are going to be offended. And last time, and I'm not going to try to name people or whatever, but look around and see empty seats. The last time we started our new series, people were offended. And they left because they didn't like what they heard. But you know what? We don't make any apologies for what the Word of God says. And if people are offended, that's a matter between them and God. I was going to, call this new series title Statement of Faith. And I thought, what does that actually mean? It doesn't get across the theme. And so what I think we're going to call this whole new series, probably for this year, is What Shiloh, that's us in this hall, What Shiloh Believes. Now I wonder, when I say that, how many people who have been here from the start when we set up Shiloh in 2000 and moved in here in 2001, I wonder how many people actually know what Shiloh believes. Well, these days it is vital that individual Christians and church fellowships know what they believe, because there are many ungodly, deceptive cults, sects, and religious trends out there. Nowadays, we're all supposed to embrace gay marriage. That's not in the Bible. But if we don't embrace it, we're viewed as bigoted sectarian. We have to be absolutely clear. Are we going to believe God's word or not? Are you going to be offended if someone is offended because you say, sorry, I can't endorse that, our fellowship doesn't believe in that? That's just one example. Individual Christians need to know what they believe, because there is so many ungodly, deceptive cults and sects and religious trends out there. Go to the top of the Skipperstone Road, and right opposite you there is the Mormons. Looks very nice, but it's a cult, it's a sect, and it doesn't believe what the Word of God teaches. It adds to it, and Revelation says, do not add to or take away from this book, or you will not receive the blessing of God. And what do? Produce a Book of Mormon, which they say is a wee bit better than the Bible, because the Bible had a few wee bits left out, and so they decided to fill it in. We need to know what it is that we believe. We live in spiritually dangerous times when Satan is working even more to deceive people and lead them away from the truth of God, from the truth of God's word. And Christians are believing his lies. I offend Christians all the time. They're easily offended. They're sensitive, weak creatures. And when I say things to them, they're, oh, I need prayer for inner healing after speaking with Toddy Gordon. But, you know, that's just the way it is. Let me read this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll fly through this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 1 through to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What a letter to get from a man sitting in prison. Paul was in prison at this time writing this letter to Timothy. And the Apostle Paul speaks about genuine faith. Why would he say genuine faith? He says genuine faith because there's a counterfeit faith. People who have all the religious trappings can speak all the Christianese, but they have no real faith in Jesus. He talks about genuine faith. He talks about stirring up the gift of God within us or within you. He talks about God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He goes on, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Hold fast the pattern of sound words. That good thing committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit. But he also says this. Man sitting in prison says this, For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day, or until Shiloh comes. You see, these days it is easy, really easy, to find Christians who think they know what they believe, and yet very often their beliefs don't align with the Word of God. They say they know what they believe, but do they know in whom they have believed? See, as the return of the Lord Jesus draws near, Christians need to believe the Word of God. If not, you are going to be quite possibly led astray. So as the day of Jesus draws near, as wickedness increases, as the Bible says it will, and even though where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more, it is those who believe the Word of God who will be preserved. I mean, we've just celebrated Jesus, the Word of God, becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And we need to keep on believing what He says and teaches us through His Word. Being Christian isn't once praying a wee prayer, Jesus, come into my heart and save me, please, and that's it all done. And somehow you've got your ticket or passport to heaven. It's a continual thing. It's only by believing, it is only by trusting in Jesus that our faith can be proved genuine, and we too can hold fast to the pattern of sound words committed to us. Well, as mentioned in December when we finished our series, I was saying when our series Till Shiloh comes to an end, Keith and I had decided that in 2019 we were going to begin a new series of Sunday morning talks based on Shiloh Christian Fellowship's statement of faith. Now, for anybody who's unaware, the statement of faith is at the back there on the notice board. It's also out in the hall, and there's now one here in the wee prayer room. But hanging on the back is a poly pocket with about 20 copies of our statement of faith. Please feel free to lift one, because this is going to be our subject matter for the next period of time. So that if you've got it there, you can also look at it yourself and see what it is that we're speaking about. But by statement of faith, just in case you're not sure what that means, by statement of faith, what I mean is the list of fundamental biblical truths and doctrines that this fellowship believes. These are fundamental to this fellowship. These are not going to change. Okay? They are fundamental Bible doctrines and truths that this fellowship believes. And any Christian wanting to become a member of Shiloh Christian Fellowship must also believe and adhere to these. Do you understand? If you other Christians come in here, which often can happen, or people become Christians and then they say they'd like to be a member of Shiloh, they must accept that statement of faith. If they say, well, I'm not sure about that, they'll not be accepted into membership of the fellowship. Or we will go through the Bible with them and show them why we believe this. And if they still say, well, that's not for me, they can't be a member of this fellowship. And that's really important. So that's why you need to take a copy and read it. Our statement of faith is a way of letting others know exactly what it is we as a fellowship believe. That's why it's there, that we can all gather around that and say, this is what we believe. The question is, do we actually know what it says? It's a simple summary of our spiritual beliefs, and we hope it will help any inquirer to be clear about the type of fellowship that we are. You see, I wonder if anybody from this fellowship walked into the Mormon church and asked for their statement of faith and read it. I wonder how many of you would be able to pick up the things that you don't believe. And if you picked up things that you don't believe, then that would be your own conscience telling you you shouldn't be a member of that church. But I wonder if an unbeliever walked in here and asked any of us without looking to the statement of faith, what is it you actually believe here? I wonder what answer we would give them. For some, much like our fellowship name, Shiloh, they probably never read our statement of faith, although it's been there for some time. And they probably never actually considered what it really means. It's just there, you know, and it actually comes with the constitution when you become a member. You can argue and fight as much as you want about the constitution. We'll debate and discuss any of those issues, and we can change things within the constitution based on the membership, but we cannot alter the statement of faith. But I wonder how many of us actually have read it or have even considered what it really means. And so each week we're going to work through this together, and at our Wednesday Bible studies we'll look at the subjects more in depth. So, having said this, we want this series to have a threefold purpose. Now, the obvious objective, the number one objective of this purpose, what or this course, this series, What Shiloh Believes, the number one objective is to teach some of the most fundamental truths of the Bible. Truths that we at Shiloh believe, or we at Shiloh are supposed to believe. It's to be educational. That's the first and foremost thing. It's to teach some of the most fundamental truths of the Bible. It's about helping us to learn God's word together. And when we go through that, or when you read that statement, if you take one today, you say, but I already believe all of these things and I know everything about all of these things. Well, that would be wonderful if you'd come and tell Keith and me that, because then we'd get a few weeks off from taking it and we would ask you to speak on one of those subjects. But first and foremost, it's about education. It's about educational learning. The Word of God must be the foundation of any church or fellowship that calls itself Christian. And you think, oh, well, that's obvious. Is it? There are churches in this town and churches not far from this town where worship is the most fundamental thing. And entertainment is the most fundamental thing. And family is the most fundamental thing. Or acceptance of anybody, doesn't matter how they live or what they believe, is the most fundamental thing. But the Word of God must be the foundation of any church or fellowship that calls itself Christian, and therefore we cannot cherry pick and hold on to or discard the portions of God's word that suit us or don't suit us. You know, someone said, a good teacher can inspire hope, ignite the imagination, and instill a love of learning. Here, well, don't be looking to me and Keith. But a good teacher can inspire hope, ignite the imagination, and instill a love of learning, which is why Keith and I, that we are saying to you, as we have to, we must all depend upon the Holy Spirit to teach us, to educate us by the Word of God as we go through this series. Keith and I aren't going to teach you anything. We'll tell you wee stories and we'll go through what we're doing. It will be the Holy Spirit that you need to rely upon to teach you as we go through this series. He, the Holy Spirit, he is the good teacher that all of us must look to. If we don't learn anything, this is where the first time you get offended. If we don't learn anything from this series, then we are either unteachable. That's the sort of prat who thinks they know everything. Okay? I'm sorry, I made a New Year's resolution that I wasn't going to swear during my sermons. Prat's not a bad word, sure it's not. That's all right. See how long my New Year's resolution is going to last. If we don't learn anything from this series, then we are either unteachable, and you know something, the Bible's clear, you can have an unteachable spirit. Or we're just not willing to grow or to develop as Christians. And they're two very biblical things. You can have an unteachable spirit, and you can be not willing to grow, and as Peter says, you remain babes in Christ, and all you can do is just about drink the spiritual milk because you haven't learned to grow and develop to be able to eat the meat of God's Word. So if we don't learn anything from this series, then we're either unteachable or we're not willing to grow and develop as Christians. Now, some people might want to continue just doing things their own way, making the same mistakes over and over and over, and then coming to us, gurning, oh, I'm really struggling in my life. And say, well, are you applying God's Word? Well, actually, no. Some people want to continue doing things their own way, making the same mistakes over and over. Those who don't learn often think they don't need to learn. It was like me. I didn't go to school very often because I just thought that was for people who needed to be educated. I didn't need an education. I was smart, says he, in Rathgale Training School, in Malyle Borstal, in Hyde Bank Young Offender Centre twice, in Crumlin Road Prison twice, in Downshire Mental Hospital twice. I was smart. Those who don't learn often think they don't need to learn, or don't understand that they need to learn, or worse, perhaps they just don't want to learn from mine or Keith's talks, which is why I emphasize this morning all of us need to depend on the Holy Spirit, because God is always wanting us to learn. He is always wanting us to be discipled in the things of God. So the first thing about this whole course, this whole series of sermons or talks or messages, whatever you want to call it, it has to be educational. The second of our threefold purpose in this series is that it should be engaging. Anybody will pick up here that I like ease. And don't be putting that out on Facebook. I'll be getting all the dealers on the phones here saying, I'll sell you a few. The second is engaging. Keith and I are clear about the talks that we give. And we have continually said this, and we will continually repeat this over and over and over. We're clear about the talks that we give, that it is the responsibility of each person to check if what we say is true. We have to check it. Keith and I have to check it. So must you. If anyone is unsure or disagrees about anything they hear, they should feel able to raise the matter with us and engage in positive discussion or debate. Remember, Keith and I are here to learn also. And sometimes the Spirit of God will show you things that we need to know. So you need to be able to engage. The Wednesday night Bible studies give us a great platform to discuss the subjects more widely and to hear the views and the opinions of others. We need the series to be engaging, and we need people to participate in it. So Rocky, when you fall asleep, you're not engaging. That's just a joke, Rocky. Or Shirley. When Shirley falls asleep, you're not engaging. I'm waiting for the next one to fall asleep, because I'm telling you, when I see it happening, I'm going to keep talking and come right up to your ear and gulder out a massive hallelujah. And if there's a heart attack, we'll pray for a raising of the dead afterwards. But we need people to engage. We need people to participate. We need you to give us feedback. Not that we want our heads swelling with all of the praise, because it doesn't matter what you say to me, it goes over my head. It's the same as with Keith. But we need people to give us feedback and say, yes, I'm really enjoying this. I feel like I'm being fed. I feel like I'm learning something. And we also need you to be bold enough to say, I actually don't know if you're right there. And sometimes God will help me and Keith to put something out there expecting one of you to come and say, no, that's not right. Have you thought about this, or have you thought about that? We need the series to be engaging, and we need people to participate in it. Think about what Sandra Fitzpatrick said last week in the prayer time, or even Rocky mentioned last week. Sandra said this, that she has learned more here in Shiloh in the past year than she had learned anywhere in a long time. You hear that? that she had learned more here in the past year. Rocky said the same thing, that he had learned so much more. Even in the Bible study, he says, I have learned more here than I have learned anywhere. Sandra said that I have learned more here in the past year than I've learned anywhere in a long time. Why do you think that is? It's not mine or Keith's talks, much as we would love it to be down to us, but it's not mine or Keith's talks. It's Sandra's willingness to engage and to learn. And because of that, the Holy Spirit is teaching her. And if you come along to Shiloh with a right heart, a right mind, and a teachable spirit, you will learn from God. God will see your heart. He will see your mind. He will see that you're willing to learn, that you're willing to listen, and He will draw alongside you by His Holy Spirit, and He will teach you. But we've also learned from Sandra's engaging by her contributions at the Bible studies, by her willingness to serve and how she thinks of others. And that, again, works for many people in this fellowship. When we're willing to learn, when we're willing to engage, the Lord teaches us new things, and then He enables us to share with others what we've learned. Pat said that on Wednesday night at the Bible study again, how God just put her in the right place at the right time, opened her mouth to a guy, said a few words, and he came back some months later and says, I've now given my life to the Lord. When we're willing to learn, when we're willing to engage, the Lord teaches us new things, and then He enables us to share with others what we've learned. In other words, we put our learning into practice. Willingness to learn from God often leads to Him teaching us, then using us. Do you hear that? God doesn't invest in you unwisely. Willingness to learn from God often leads to Him teaching us and then using us in what He has taught. The third of the threefold purpose. So far we've had educational and we've had engaging. The third of the threefold purpose, the last of the threefold purpose in this series, is that it should be enjoyable. There is nothing worse than having to listen to talks that make you feel like you want to phone the Samaritans. There's nothing worse than listening to talks that make you feel like you're losing the will to live, or like you're walking through wet blankets. Keith and I will try very hard not to bore you to death. But we can't make any promises. But again, if you are willing, if you are here and you're willing to learn from God, to engage, then He will teach you. And when He teaches you something, it's wonderful, because I love it, you know, sometimes when people share here on a Sunday morning, well, God spoke to me during the week about this, and they read it out and they say what it was, or the Bible study, the wee open time. Oh, God done this and God done that. And it's amazing when you hear some of the incredible things that God does. He shows somebody something and suddenly He uses them to share that with someone else. Although Keith and I will try not to bore you to death, the reality is if you've already arrived here with that teachable spirit, with that willing heart to engage and to learn, God will teach you. However, another warning. Learning from God can also be painful and may involve suffering. You hear that? Learning from God can also be painful and may involve suffering. You see, it is God, the Holy Spirit, who often leads us into the wilderness, into dry, dreary, or dark places to teach us new things. He tells us in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 3, He will give us the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. But He's got to take us into the darkness. He's got to take us into those secret places that He might give us these things. He will give us the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel. You hear that? See, the next time you're going into a time of suffering and wilderness or whatever you want to call it, think about what God is saying. I'm going to give you, in that suffering, in that trial, in that hardship, I'm going to give you treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Why would you do that, Lord? That you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel. We must not be afraid to be led by the Lord into the wilderness and periods of darkness. We have His promise of treasures and riches to be found there. Christian, what Shiloh believes, I hope, will inspire us all and help us to grow in Christ, so that we, like the Apostle Paul, can say, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him until that day." And you know what? Evidence of our growing in Christ, of knowing in whom I have believed, will be the Lord using us in many ways to put into practice what He teaches us. So Christian, let us together hold fast the pattern of sound words and keep by the Holy Spirit that good thing committed to us by God. May our faith be proved genuine, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Maybe this morning there's someone here, someone listening to our podcast, and you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not yet a Christian. Well, it's my prayer and my heart's desire that as you seek to engage, whether it's through Facebook or listening into the podcast, as you seek to engage with us through this series, What Shiloh Believes, I pray that you too will come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that one day soon, you too will be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed unto Him until that day." Let's pray. Lord, thank You that on this first Sunday of a new year, we begin this new series, What Shiloh Believes. And what we believe, Lord God, is the Word of God. And we want to use that term, Lord, to unpack the statement of faith and look at it and apply it, Lord God, to our lives. And that as we apply what it is that we believe, may we fall more and more in love with Him in whom we have believed. May we fall more in love with Jesus. And may through Jesus, Lord God, we get a clearer, clearer view of You, our Father. Holy Spirit, we desperately need You to help us, to teach us. May we, when we come to this place, Lord God, come with teachable spirits, Lord God, teachable hearts, willing to engage, Lord God, willing to be taught, willing, Lord God, to meet with You. And may we enjoy our fellowship with You and with each other as we go through this series, please. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.